Talking Sports with Nick Jenkinson. It's Monday, and you know what that means. It's time for Talking Sports with Nick Jenkinson on the South Central Indiana News Network. On tonight's show, we'll talk with George Case III about his website, TimelessBaseball.com, and his father, former Major League Baseball player George Case Jr. We'll talk IU football and Hoosier hysteria. We'll have our Big Boys Moving High School scoreboard update, and we'll look ahead to the week in IU athletics. So let's talk sports. We'll start with Indiana football losing a tough one Saturday night, 24-0 to the 4th-ranked Penn State Nittany Lions in State College, Pennsylvania. The Nittany Lions scored in every quarter. IU missed two opportunities to score, going for it on 4th down near the goal line early on, and Charles Campbell's field goal attempt in the 3rd quarter was blocked. Michael Penix Jr. was 10-22 for 118 yards, an interception, and he left the game with an injury in the 3rd quarter. Jack Tuttle came in, was 6-12 for 77 yards, was sacked on his first play and threw an interception. Sean Clifford was 17-33 passing for 178 yards for the Nittany Lions, 3 touchdowns and 1 interception. The Hoosiers were shorthanded with cornerback Tywan Mullen and wide receiver DJ Matthews Jr. out with injury. Matthews Jr. suffered a torn ACL last week against Western Kentucky, and he will miss the rest of the season. IU is 2-2 and 0-2 in the Big Ten, and will have the week off before hosting Michigan State Saturday, October 16th, for homecoming at noon. It's been 574 days since fans have been in Assembly Hall, but that all changed with 8,000 fans in attendance for Hoosier Hysteria last Saturday afternoon in Simon Scott Assembly Hall. The South Central Indiana News Network was there. Videos played that got the crowd fired up. Players and coaches were introduced. NBA Hall of Famer and IU great Isaiah Thomas spoke to the crowd. Parker Stewart and Grace Berger won the three-point contest. Rob Finnessy and Mackenzie Holmes won the skills contest, and Trace Jackson Davis won the slam dunk contest. The men's team went through a brief workout. It was a great event, and as someone who has been going to Simon Scott Assembly Hall since I was a kid, there is no better feeling than to be back home in the building after 574 days. High school sports time. Let's check the Big Boys Moving High School scoreboard. Big Boys Moving serves you with an attitude of gratitude. Well, in high school football, it was a rough week for the Monroe County schools. Bloomington South lost to Columbus North 34-10. The Panthers are 6-1. Their game this Saturday with Hammond-Morton has been canceled due to COVID-19 concerns within the Hammond-Morton program, so the Panthers searching for another game this week. Bloomington North lost to number one team in Class 4A, Indianapolis Roncalli, 56-13. The Cougars are 5-2 and host Columbus North this Friday. Edgewood lost to Sullivan at home 45-0. They are 1-5 and will travel to Northview this Friday. In boys soccer, Edgewood beat Lighthouse Christian 1-0, beat West Vigo 3-1, Bloomington South lost to Jasper 2-1, Bloomington North tied Center Grove 1-1. In girls soccer, Bloomington South beat Martinsville 3-0 and Southport 9-0. Edgewood beat Bedford North Lawrence 5-0 and lost to West Vigo 2-1. In girls volleyball, Bloomington South lost to Columbus East 3-1, lost to Martinsville 3-0. Edgewood had a busy week, beat Cloverdale 3-0, lost to Bloomington North 3-1, and then they hosted the Joyce Gates Invitational Saturday, beating Mooresville 2-0, Clay City 2-0, and Terre Haute North 2-0 to win the tournament, and Caden Harrington, the junior from Edgewood, got her 1,000th career kill on Saturday. Bloomington North beat Owen Valley 3-0 and Edgewood 3-1. In girls cross country, Bloomington South and Edgewood ran in the Nike Twilight meet at Terre Haute. Bloomington South was 7th, Edgewood was 15th. And in boys cross country, Bloomington North, Bloomington South, and Edgewood all ran in the Nike Twilight meet at Terre Haute. Bloomington North was 8th, Bloomington South 13th, Edgewood 23rd. In boys tennis, Bloomington North is sectional champions, knocking off Martinsville 5-0 in the first round, Edgewood 5-0 in the semifinals, and Bloomington South 3-2 in the final. They will face Austin in the regional semifinals tomorrow night at Bloomington South. And then Bloomington South beat Bedford North Lawrence 3-2 in the semifinals, and Edgewood lost to Bloomington North 5-0 in the semifinals. That is a look at our high school scoreboard update brought to you by Big Boys Moving Company. When we come back, we will talk with George Case III about his website, timelessbaseball.com, and his father, former Major League Baseball player George Case Jr. This is Talking Sports with Nick Jenkinson on the South Central Indiana News Network.
When you're preparing to buy a new home, the last thing you should have to worry about is the safety of your possessions. Allow Big Boys Moving to professionally oversee the transport of your precious belongings. Big Boys Moving is locally owned with years of experience. Whether your relocation is local or long distance, allow Big Boys to move you with an attitude of gratitude. Call today, 812-947-1479 or online at bbmoving812.com.
This is Danny with Weathervane Insurance Solutions. Not only is it especially important for our economy to support local businesses these days, but as your local independent insurance agency, Weathervane Insurance can shop you around with dozens of carriers to ensure you receive the most competitive price and, of course, the best customer service. Find us on the web at weathervaneonline.com. That's weathervaneonline.com.
Hey, this is Chandler Thompson of the Muncie Central Boys basketball team. Whenever I get a chance, I love listening to my guy, Nick Jenkinson, on South Central Indiana News Network.
Welcome back to Talking Sports with Nick Jenkinson on the South Central Indiana News Network. It is time to welcome in my guest, his website, timelessbaseball.com, MLB historian in the World War II era. His dad, George Case, played for the Washington Senators from 1937 to 45 and 47, also played for the Cleveland Indians. George Case III is my guest. George, it is a pleasure to have you. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks very much, Nick. I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Let's start with the fact that you are in Bucks County, Pennsylvania. That's where you're from. That's where you've lived all your life. Your dad, born in Trenton, New Jersey. You're a Rutgers guy, but you do have a connection to the state of Indiana, beside the fact Rutgers is in the Big Ten. You had a high school classmate graduate here from the School of Music.
Yeah, I sure did. And Indiana, I've been out there when he was there. He had a travel agency in Bloomington, and we went out. And he also used to talk to me about Amish Acres, which I'm not sure whether it's still there or not, but that was a pretty big tourist place back then. Indiana University, as I mentioned to you, I mean, my recollection of Indiana University is really basketball. When Bobby Knight was the basketball coach, Indiana was tremendous basketball power nationally. And I mentioned that in 76, Indiana and Rutgers were both undefeated going into the Final Four. So, you know, that was my first really exposure to basketball, with the Indiana being such a basketball powerhouse. But recently, I think basketball might have gone backwards a little bit. But on the other hand, football at Indiana, which really wasn't anything, has become quite strong.
Yeah, the basketball team, of course, has a new coach in Mike Woodson, former player who played from 76 to 1980 and one of the all-time leading scorers here. So there's definitely a lot of excitement around Bloomington for the return of Indiana basketball and the excitement for Indiana football as well. Let's talk about your dad. He played for 11 years in the major leagues. You grew up getting to know his teammates. and all that. You've talked about Mickey Vernon and Sid Houston, a couple guys that played with him for the Senators. Fondest memory of watching your dad get to play Major League Baseball back in that time?
Well, I was only a youngster. My dad retired in 47. I was only 7 years old. So, you know, I remember a little bit, but most of it is the remembering the stories. And my mom used to laugh because when I was about 6 months old, the first baseball game I ever saw was in the stands at Griffith Stadium watching my dad play. Obviously, I don't remember it. But then my mother used to laugh because 3 years later, we're watching a ball game and my dad had a bad game or something and a fan got on him. And my mother said, I just stood up and said, you can't talk to my daddy about that way. And just shut the guy up. So, I mean, I've been around the game my entire life. And it's always part of the joy for me to talk about the history of the game. I've been asked to be on various shows, speaking engagements, showing our film, because I had intimate knowledge of that World War II era of Major League Baseball. A lot of his teammates, Mickey Vernon, Sid Hudson, Dutch Leonard, a lot of guys who were really good friends would come in the off season and visit with my mom and dad. So they were members of the family. Mickey Vernon, when I was a little kid, he put me on his lap, sang me songs. And, you know, he was my Uncle Mickey. That's what I used to call him, Uncle Mickey. And here's Mickey Vernon, two-time American League batting champion.
So beside the guys that he played with, baseball back then, you had Ty Cobb, Lou Gehrig, Babe Ruth. Who were the guys that, besides his teammates, who were the guys that you followed or really liked growing up?
Well, the one, first of all, the one probably most poignant memory of mine and my dad was my father was on the field, Lou Gehrig Appreciation Day, when Lou gave his luckiest man speech. They were playing a doubleheader against the Yankees, and between games is when you know, they made the presentation to Lou. And my dad told me, as one of the first early, one of the earliest stories I remember about baseball, you know, talking about the players all had tears in their eyes because on both sides, you know, Major League ball players thought that Lou was a tremendous human being. I mean, not only just a great player, but just a great person. And to see him almost overnight, you know, become a victim of this horrible disease, which at that point, you know, they really didn't know what the outcome was going to be. And yet, you know, Lou got up there and gave his luckiest man speech, and it was just a tremendous opportunity historic-wise. And I just happened to have that photograph, which is in my office, and because the photographer who took it gave it to my dad because my dad's in the background. Lou Gehrig and my dad were quite friendly. As a matter of fact, my dad, and I didn't know it till somebody told me, my dad caught the last ball that Lou Gehrig ever hit in his major league career. It was a fly ball to center field at Yankee Stadium on April 30th of 39. Now, some of the other players from that time, and I mentioned to you earlier, you know, Bob Feller, Joe DiMaggio, Ted Williams, Charlie Gehringer, I mean, Hank Greenberg, you know, Lefty Grove, Lefty Gomez. I mean, some of the all-time greats in baseball were all people that my dad either played with or against. And so that's my frame of reference. And, you know, people like to, you know, pick my brain about what I recall from that time. And it's one that was very special to me. And when you and I were talking earlier, probably one of the biggest events that my dad had was his race against Jesse Owens. And my dad was playing in Cleveland in 1946. Bill Veeck was the new owner of the Indians and came up with the idea of matching Jesse Owens, the world's fastest human at the time, against my dad being the baseball's fastest player. So I happen to have a picture, which I think I'll show you. That's the finish line of my dad's race against Jesse Owens. Jesse ran the 100 across the outfield grass at Cleveland Stadium in 9.9 seconds. My dad ran it in 10 seconds flat. So it was a very competitive race, and my dad always talked about it being a highlight of his baseball career.
Did he and Jesse Owens keep in touch after that?
Yeah, they did. As a matter of fact, they had a couple pictures taken in newspapers when they did a reenactment of it. And for me personally, it was interesting because when I was a junior at Rutgers, Jesse was speaking at college campuses on what it takes to become Olympic champion. And I went to hear Jesse talk. And afterwards, I went down and I introduced myself. I said, Jesse, I'm George Case's son. He said, oh, my gosh. He said, you sit down here with me and let's talk. He said, I remember your dad so well. He said, he was so competitive. He said, after the race, your dad told me, come on, Jesse, let's run around the bases. And Jesse laughed. He said, George, I can only run the straight line. I can't run around the bases. You're the best in the world at that. So that was a nice memory I had. And all my fraternity brothers after the speech, they came up to me and they said, how in the world did you know Jesse Owens? And I said, well, I really know him because of my dad's relationship with him.
Well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, more with George Case III after this quick timeout. This is Talking Sports with Nick Jenkinson on the South Central Indiana News Network.
I'm injury attorney Matt Lloyd. With an injury claim, don't leave cash on the table by not realizing all the Indiana laws that can help you. The insurance company won't tell you about them, but call me for a free consultation to learn all the important steps to get the best settlement. Call or text 812-333-MATT or go online to myinjurycase.com. Let's join forces and fight for a settlement that makes sense for you. 812-333-MATT.
Are you spending more time at home these days? If so, then you'll want to consider having your carpets professionally cleaned. Brothers Carpet Cleaning has been the region's premier cleaner for nearly a decade. Their truck-mounted systems are the most effective to remove bacteria, allergens, and pet dander. Brothers Carpet Cleaning will professionally clean your carpet, tile, upholstery, and wood. When it has to be clean, call Brothers Carpet Cleaning. Online at carpetcleaningbrothers.com.
Hi, this is Matthew Mounts with Rival Showdown Pro Wrestling, and I listen to Talkin' Sports with Nick Jenkinson on the South Central Indiana News Network.
Welcome back to Talking Sports with Nick Jenkinson on the South Central Indiana News Network. My guest from TimelessBaseball.com, George Case III. George, we were talking about your dad's career. Your dad was definitely known for steals. 321 most in Senators history, 349 total, 377 runs batted in, and a 282 average. Was the steals the biggest accomplishment that you felt he had or that he was most proud of?
I think so, Nick. It was. I mean, he was blessed with natural speed. I happened to, inherit his gene. I wasn't as fast. I was a little bit bigger than my dad. He used to laugh because I'd say, hey, Pop, I'm bigger than you. I can hit the ball further. He said, well, yeah, you sure can. How about we go outside and have a little race? So, it was a matter with him. He was proud of his speed, but he was most proud of knowing how to utilize that speed. And that's what he enjoyed teaching a lot of youngsters in college and when he was coaching in the minor leagues, teach them a little bit about baseball and how to get a lead, when to run, what to look for in the pitching motion, what to look for with a catcher. I mean, there's a lot of inside parts of baseball that my dad was very well versed and loved to teach youngsters about.
He was the sports fastest player between the 1920s and 50s. He was the only player to lead the league in stolen bases for five consecutive years and actually six overall times and tied Ty Cobb's AL record. So, to be put in that type of company with the likes of Ty Cobb has to make you proud indeed.
Well, it does, Nick. And yet my dad was extremely modest. After he passed away in 1989, I'll never forget, it was a local obituary in one of our newspapers, and one of the neighbors called me up, and he said, geez, I'm sorry to hear about your dad. He said, by the way, George, I didn't even know he played baseball. That's just the way my father was. He was a person who loved family. He loved a duck hunt in the wintertime. He would be part of the community, do a lot of speaking, do a lot of appearances, and yet, baseball to him was his life, but family was his real love.
I'm sure it was. And, you know, he was a four-time All-Star. And it seemed like after baseball was over, he went on to a great career. You said coached at Rutgers. You played for him for 1 year, led him to the College World Series, was a manager, a minor league instructor. He opened up a sporting goods store. So it sounds like he had a busy life after baseball.
He did, Nick, but it was all, you know, built around baseball. I mean, his sporting goods store was George Case's Sports Center, and he had, you know, obviously mostly team goods. But my dad was also a person who loved to coach. He coached at Rutgers for 10 years, and then he became third base coach for Mickey Vernon and the Expansion Senators, 61 to 63. Then he managed out in Oneonta in Hawaii for 2 years, the Pacific Coast League. And then he took 4 years of Oneonta in the short season A, where he had a lot of college kids, first time as a pro. And he loved to work with them and talk to them, not only about baseball, but just how to handle themselves, you know, both on and off the field.
How would you think your dad would do if he was playing in this day and age compared to the World War II era?
I think he would do well because it's speed. You know, my dad was not a home run hitter. So, you know, if anybody put him in the lineup, they were putting him in there because he was supposed to get on base, get in the scoring position and score. He only had 21 home runs his entire career, you know, but fundamentally he was very sound. And he told me when I played for him when I was at Rutgers, I played 1 year. But as a kid growing up, he'd say, hey, you know, I can teach you the game, but you have to want to play it. And I wanted to play it. Now, maybe some kids, you know, if their father was a professional athlete, they'd say, hey, I don't want a part of that. But for me, that's what I wanted to do. And so he taught me how to play the game the way it was supposed to be played. And he played what they call small ball, which get on first, get to second, and score. So that was, you know, his background, and that's what I've always enjoyed watching. I don't necessarily want to see all these guys with two strikes still trying to hit home runs and winding up with a huge amount of strikeouts, because, you know, it doesn't seem to be a problem anymore. As long as you can jack one out, then everybody's happy. My background is really World War II era baseball. I don't follow baseball. I love the game, but I don't follow it nearly the way I used to, because there's so many teams, so many players. Players jump in teams, long, you know, leagues are moving around, and the rules are so different from what they used to be. You know, now you got quality starts for starting pitchers that are six innings. You're putting runners on second base. You're doing intentional walks without throwing a ball. I mean, it's a different world for me.
You were the executive director of Society for American Baseball Research from 2000 to 2002. As you've mentioned, you've spoken about the World War II era in Major League Baseball. You're on a monthly podcast. Your website, timelessbaseball.com. When did you start that website, and what made you decide that that was what you wanted to do?
Well, where it really came from, when I was a little boy, my dad would come home from the season, and he'd have his little 8mm movie camera, and he'd put up a screen in the living room, and he'd show his movies, his home movies of baseball. And I used to tell him back then, I said, Daddy, do we have to see these again? So about a couple of years before my dad died, I said, Pop, why don't we take all your old film, put it on a tape, and then, you know, you can identify the players, because other than a few people like Lou Gehrig or Babe Ruth or Hank Greenberg or Ted Williams or DiMaggio, the average person 50 years, 60 years later, not going to know who these guys are. And so what my dad did, he took it upon himself. He watched the tape. He spoke into a tape recorder. And then after my dad passed away, I decided I want to preserve these for future generations. And so we made first a VHS tape, and then we converted it to a DVD format, and it's about 60 minutes long in color, and it's called All About World War II Era Major League Baseball. And the players, the old stadium, spring training, and what it was like to be a Major League ball player, not game action, but behind the scenes look at Major League Baseball. And it's called Ball Field, the Battlefield and Back, from FDR to JFK, which is that era of Major League Baseball that my dad and Mickey Vernon were part of.
Your dad, of course, was born in Trenton, New Jersey. Trenton, New Jersey was quite the talent. You had Al Downing, a pitcher, Al Clark, an umpire, and Bo Belinsky, who grew up in Trenton but was born in New York City, and your dad. That was quite the baseball factory back then.
Well, it was. Trenton was a very good baseball city. Always had been. Tremendous. And my dad started playing baseball in Trenton in the 30s. They had a lot of American Legion national champions, Babe Ruth League champions. It was just a great area. And my dad was fortunate because he played minor league baseball with the Trenton Senators in 36 and 37 before being called up to Washington in fall of 37. So Trenton, and then my dad was from being from Trenton, and we lived right across the river in Bucks County. And I grew up there. So I played some of the same fields, knew some of the same people. They remembered me. They remembered my dad playing. And I remember one year I was 11 years old. My dad came to a Little League game, and some fan said to me, I'm 11 years old. He said, "Hey, Case, you'll never be as good as your old man." And my dad was incensed. He said afterwards, because I came home crying, he said, "You don't have to listen to that." He said, "Don't worry about that." And he said, "I'm never going to another one of those games again because I don't need to hear that stuff. I mean, you know, I'm just trying to play because I'd like to play. And I'm not trying to be like my father." Unfortunately, we both played baseball. We both had the same name. And so people, you know, linked the two of us together. So, you know, but on the other hand, it did open a lot of doors for me because many times I was in the athletic footwear business. I'd call on a sporting goods store. I'd call on a baseball coach or whatever. And they'd say, "Hey, you're not related to the ball player, are you?" So I'd say, "Yes, I was." So we'd wind up the first 15 or 20 minutes just talking baseball rather than why I was supposed to be there to try to sell him some shoes.
Did he have a favorite stadium to play in?
I think Yankee Stadium. He had some great games at Yankee Stadium. He also liked Fenway. So, you know, those two, I have to think, were his two favorite. Now, he played most of his career in Washington. And that's why for him, being not a home run hitter, the left field line at Griffith Stadium when my dad played was 405 feet, left field line. So, I mean, he didn't have to try to reach the seats because, you know, he wasn't going to do that with his ability. And I can remember I worked out with the team. I was a junior, and I tried like hell to hit one out, and I couldn't do it. So, you know, the only guy who ever really solved that distance at Yankee Stadium at Griffith Stadium was Mickey Mantle when he hit that tape measure home run 565 feet over the outfield wall.
Now, after your dad retired, one of the gentlemen that I have a connection to pitched for the Pittsburgh Pirates from 1951 to 66, and that was West Lafayette, Indiana native Bob Friend. I know you never knew him, but what was your recollection of him watching him pitch for the Pirates?
Oh, a great, great pitcher. And I think I mentioned to you, our good friend Mickey Vernon was Danny Murtaugh's first base coach in 1960 when Mazeroski hit the home run to beat the Yankees. So, I mean, that was a momentous and memorable time. And I think Mazeroski got into the Hall of Fame basically because of that home run. The Yankees were heavily favored. They had a tremendous pitching staff, you know, Friend and, you know, a lot of Vernon Law. I mean, they had some great, great pitchers, but Bob Friend was one of the best. And I didn't know him personally, but I certainly remember watching him on television.
Yeah, I heard a lot about him growing up because his family was good friends with my family. And, of course, my grandfather and uncle and cousins were all big Pittsburgh Pirate fans. So I got to hear plenty of him growing up. George, I really appreciate the time. Love your website. Thank you for keeping the nostalgia alive when it comes to Major League Baseball back in the day. I'm sure your dad is smiling down, proud of you every moment for everything that you do, and keep up all the good work. And I thank you very much.
I appreciate those comments, Nick. Thanks again. My pleasure.
My thanks to George Case III for being my guest this week. Visit his website, www.timelessbaseball.com. Well, and IU Sports Women's Golf is hosting the Courtney Cole Invitational Play started today and runs through tomorrow at the Foul Course. Men and women swimming host Kentucky at 2 p.m. Wednesday. Field hockey is at Ohio State 3 p.m. Friday and at Kent State Sunday at noon. Volleyball is on the road at Rutgers Friday and Maryland Saturday, both games at 7 o'clock. Women's soccer at Northwestern 8 p.m. Friday. And men's soccer host Trine University from Angola, Indiana at 7:30 on Saturday. Thank you for joining us this evening, and thanks to our sponsors. On behalf of the entire team here at the South Central Indiana News Network, my name is Nick Jenkinson. Join us throughout the week on social media and every Monday night right here for more Talkin' Sports.
This was a production of the South Central Indiana News Network.